Hi, I'm Sam Stokes. Today, let's talk about multiplying and adding matrices using C sharp. Now, in past blog entries and videos, I've been talking about building games and a little bit about graphics as well as C programming. Understanding matrices is critical to having a deep understanding of how games are built. Once you understand how matrices are used, they become intuitive. But until that time, it can be confusing. So I thought, well, let's start off by doing multiplying and adding matrices. It's a very simple process and allows us to take a look at how to use for loops as well as a few other items such as console write line, console clear, and so forth. All right, why are we looking at matrices? They're boring. Come on, let's not kid ourselves. That's why matrices are one of the reasons why computers were made. Matrices and arrays are really some of the strongest uses of computers and have been since their creation. That's what they were made for. Now they're boring. Unless you like Sudoku, or you're an electrical engineer, they better not be boring then, or a math major, definitely not there, or a physics major, or maybe genetic engineering. But anyway, making them can be boring, but using them is very interesting. Interesting things are done with matrices. In fact, our entire civilization works off of this concept of matrices. So, what's a parallel in real life to a matrix? And why we need to learn them. Well, let's face it, washing dishes is a boring exercise. But dirty dishes make people sick, and eating off of clean dishes is pleasant. The same way with matrices. Okay, not knowing matrices probably won't make people sick. Oh, wait a minute, it could, because if we didn't understand how to do matrices, we wouldn't have a good understanding of how to make medicine. And without medicine, people would get sick. So there you go, parallels there. Now, in the same way, we need to understand matrices. Matrices are an important ingredient to games and graphics, in building solar panels or nuclear reactors or doing simulations of economic systems. Very important. So we're going to start off at some very basic elements. What are we going to talk about? For loops. So that lowercase f in that line is correct. For loops and application of for loops to matrices. You'll notice that it's a very simple thing to use a for loop with a matrix, and things seem to line up. And that's because for a long time, computers have been doing matrices. Also talk about the use of Control plus F5. This allows your command program to launch and then stay open. This means you're launching without using debugging. We'll also look at console-based programs. I usually avoid them myself because they're not horribly useful for people who aren't computer scientists or who are writing programs to utilize. We'll talk a little bit about console write, and I think we also talk about console clear. We'll also talk about how to pass arrays from one method to another, and that's very important. Let's take a look at working with matrices using C sharp. In this example, we'll be creating two arrays and multiplying and adding them. Our end result will look like this. I'm pressing Control F5 so that the program runs without debugging. This means that the command window stays open. Now the output's a little large for my screen that I'm using for this video, but we can see at the beginning we have a pre-multiply array. This is the W array, and it's all ones. Now we're going to multiply all ones using an operator, the multiplication operator, times each element in the X array. So 1 times 1 is 1, as we would expect. Next, I'm going to add the two arrays. So 1 plus 1 is 2, and so forth. Now, the reason why I used all 1s initially was that this makes it very easy to make sure that the code I wrote to work with the arrays is functional. I would recommend the same testing on your part. Let's close the command window at this time. Now, let's take a look at the code. First of all, unlike game programs, which I normally have been talking about in my other two blogs, blogs.msdn.com DevSchool and blogs.msdn.com Silverlight Games, they'll have both of those default and have more classes than what's shown here. This is a very simple program. This is a console program. In other words, it will run and work with the console directly. In this case, we have a main program that I started off with. I often keep my mains at the bottom of a class that I have them located in. This is my practice. You could put them at the top. The C# program, as C++ programs will do, require that the program start with a main method. In this case, we create a random method. We then create the print array, so we create our first array and place all ones into the array through this process. Ones in a bracket, ones in a bracket, ones in a bracket. Then we create our next array here, and in this case we're creating a random number in the range of 1 to 6 inclusive. In other words, 1 and 6 are included. And this represents a similar situation as with a roll of a dice. And we do this 9 times. Now we'll pass the array. We're passing the array through to the method called printArray. Now let's go take a look at the printArray. I've placed this one at the top, so we'll scroll slowly up to the top. We see that we're using a system namespace, and our class is called ArrayClass. This is our method, printArray. In C#, we start off with the array declaration and then the name of the array. We pass the W and the X. I also have an integer called tempHote. I clear the console of any extraneous information. And then I add information at the top of it to describe the arrays. In the next section of this talk, we'll discuss how arrays are put together. Multiplying two arrays or adding two arrays of the same dimensions requires some thought. A two-dimensional array requires two for loops. A three-dimensional array would require three for loops, and so forth. The reason for this is that you're iterating across each row and column. In this case, I is the row and J represents the column. I equals 0, J equals 0, W, I equals 0, J equals 0 goes into a temporary holding. W, 0, 0 equals the temp hold times the same location in the other matrix, X, I equals 0, J equals 0. Now, for this exercise, I'm pumping out or writing into the console the multiplied element, which is a string, 0, which is I, 1, which is J, 2, which is temp hode, 4, which is the X matrix. And then I state that it's equal to the W I equals 0, J equals 0 for now. Then I change the location of that matrix to the temporary holding number. I could do it one way or the other. Now, the multiplication occurs at this point. We'll go into variations of this for matrices of 2 by 2 times a 1 column type of matrix in another blog entry. Now let's look at the add. Addition is exactly the same way as the multiplication, except we use the add. And we're adding it and we're using the same consoled write line. Now, let's run our program and take a look at the output. I press Control plus F5. I do this again to keep the command window open after running the code. If I press Debug, it'll appear quickly and then disappear. There are other ways to keep the window open if you need to keep it open for debugging purposes. Here we see what our W matrix is. It's all ones. Now we're going to do the multiply. 1 times 5 equals 5. Notice these numbers change each time you run the program, and that's because we're using a random number which uses time as a seed. Now you could put a number into that random operator down here in main. You can place a number here. If you don't, let's take a look at what's going on. So if I try to do this, it'll say it uses a time-dependent default seed value. In other words, what time is it inside of your computer? That's the seed. Now, if you use a constant seed, some people think that this could be busted. Maybe, I don't know, your choice. I always use the time default. Now, again, we're using our for loop to pump through the arrays. One of the things I'd like to make sure you're clear about with for loops is that if I type in 4 and hit tab twice, 1, 2, then most of the work is done for me, and all I have to do is add my length and then whatever I want to do inside of the for loop. Saves me a lot of time. Okay, what we've talked about so far is how to add and multiply arrays of the same scope or size. In a future blog, we're going to talk about how to replace the console writes with String Builder so that you can utilize it on systems such as the phone that do not support console write line. I hope this has helped you understand better how to do simple array multiplication and addition. What did we talk about? Oh my gosh, we talked about for loops and how for loops work with matrices. We saw how easy it is to get for loops to work in multiply matrices. We also saw how to use Control plus F5. That allowed our command console program to open and to be stay open so we can see what was going on. We talked about console-based programs. They're fun for testing things, but really? Do you want your mom to use that? Come on. But they're good for testing programming ideas. We talked about how to use console-write. Now, console-write is fine for programs that can reach the command or console, but not real good for products like Windows Phone. So we'll need to take the console write and change it slightly. We also talked about how to pass arrays into methods. Now, this is real important, and make sure that you practice that because you're going to want to have your array calculations off someplace else from where you're actually using it, and then passing it back into your main program. You want to get them working correctly in one program that you can use for many programs. You don't want to have to keep coming back and rewriting your matrix stuff. So I hope this has helped you understand a little bit more about matrix multiplication and addition and the use of for loops in your programs. Thank you very much for sticking all the way to the end, and hope you'll see some of my other videos.